Hey, everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios and brought to you by official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson's The Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. We're here with Terrific Lee, who's an executive director of the Pathfinder Network, a nonprofit that provides justice system imported individuals and families the tools and support they need to be in safe and thriving communities. And also, she began the Pathfinder Network back in 2010 as a group facilitator and worked her way up in various positions, and including the Oregon Department of Corrections, and also parole and probation officer, and also lead parole and probation officer in Multnomah County for 5 years, and winning numerous awards. And she's worked in education, social services, institutions, and also corrections in various roles. And she has a new book out, which is an anthology of teens impacted by prison and sharing their hurts, fears, dreams, hopes through personal reflections. And the book is called Advice to Ninth Graders, the Stories, Poetry, and Art, and Other Wisdom, the debut anthology from the Pathfinders Club. And what's that mean? We'll find out in just 1 minute. Live, ladies and gentlemen, the Plus Studios in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, the executive director of the Pathfinder Network, a nonprofit that provides support to families as support means, and the book Advice to Ninth Graders. Ladies and gentlemen, multi-talented Leticia Longoria Navarro. Try saying it 10 times fast. Leticia, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike.
Well, it's great to have you on board, Leticia. So you're executive director of the Pathfinder Network, a nonprofit that provides justice system impacted individuals and families the tools and support to need to be safe and thriving communities. You began the Pathfinder Network back in 2010 as a group facilitator and working in various roles in the Oregon Department of Correction facilities and parole and probation officer, working your way up to a lead. And you spent some time with Multnomah County for 5 years and winning numerous awards, and worked as educators, social services, institutions, and community corrections, and in various roles. And you have a new book, which is an anthology of teens that are impacted by prison, sharing their hurts, fears, dreams, sharing through personal reflections. The book is called Advice to Ninth Graders, Stories, Poetry, Art, and Other Wisdom, the debut anthology from the Pathfinder Club. And before getting all that to Leticia, tell us how you first got started.
Yes, so that's a really good question. So I have worked in and around the criminal justice system pretty much my whole career in various different roles, like you mentioned. And really, just because I grew up in a family that was impacted by the criminal justice system and have had parents and loved ones who were incarcerated, and knew just, you know, how isolating that experience can really be, and how, you know, much kind of shame and stigma that can be associated with those experiences, and sometimes felt powerless about those experiences that I had, and always knew that I wanted to work with people in communities who had those same experiences and provide support and tools and resources, and I probably hope and inspiration too. And that's really what led me to the Pathfinder Network and led me to the programming that we provide for teens. And ultimately the book Advice to Ninth Graders, which we released last week and are really excited to share with the world.
Mm-hmm. And what was that one precise moment that simply influenced you to what you're doing for the rest of your career?
Yeah, that's a really good question too. I think, I think it was maybe in my sophomore year of college, I was a part of a class. And it was called the Inside Out program. And it was a class that was a mix of college students. I went to Oregon State University, and students who were incarcerated at the Oregon State Penitentiary. So it was my first time entering a prison, not as a visitor of a family member, but as a student, and really kind of as a, I guess, pre-professional. And mm-hmm. It was such a such a transformative experience to be kind of learning alongside individuals who were incarcerated, who had experienced really difficult things, who were, you know, now being going through this criminal justice process, and really mostly inspired by the potential and the wisdom and the resilience of those individuals, and thought, gosh, if I could create experiences like this for other people, it would really help kind of change hearts and minds and help us think differently about how we deal with individuals who have engaged in behavior that is against the law or that, you know, is sometimes harmful to our communities and families. And so that was the moment where I knew, like, a spark, I guess, was lit. And I knew that I would want to do work with individuals who are a part of the criminal justice system and their families.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it seems to be on the uptick a great deal as well, too, where it was problems were handled within the family. You didn't need, like, social services, the police and everything. Now, of course, you know, as we all know, that, you know, crime and, you know, loved ones incarcerated has really gone up and up and everything else. And of course, you know, you read about in the media, the social media, newspapers, radio, TV, cable, and just about everything under the sun with it. And of course, you know, it's getting me commonplace. You've experienced it. And I guess one question I kind of had is that with the coping skills and how do people, you know, manage quickly? How do people basically just say that, hey, we're have to really deal with it and, you know, really tackle the problem, common face and everything like that. So I guess the thing is that it's getting more common. And are we trying to, you know, try to stem the tide, you know, going with back to where families were together? Or is it getting me like, you know, just normal?
Yeah. Something that you mentioned that is sticking out to me is just this idea that there were just many more forms of kind of informal social control that helped us, you know, engage in healthy, positive, productive behavior. And that has really shifted where there are many more external forms of social control and support. So we've got lots of systems that are engaging in individuals and families and communities' lives, which definitely have an impact. You know, the statistics are pretty startling. 1 in 14 children have a parent that's incarcerated. We also know that about 113 million people in the United States have ever had a family member or loved one who's been incarcerated. So this is an issue that's impacting everyone, not just the people who are incarcerated. About 3 million people in the United States are incarcerated. About 5 million on some form of, you know, correctional control or parole and probation. So this impacts all of us. It definitely impacts our community. There have been a variety of different kind of criminal justice reforms that have been initiated, and that looks different, obviously, across the country. What I can tell you and what I've observed and definitely have seen in the data that is available to us is when we initiate some of those reforms, you know, it hasn't impacted the safety of the community. We don't see crime going up when we are more intentional about who we send to prison or when we create diversion programs or when we keep people in the community and provide intensive support. So there's some things that we can do to change that while also, you know, the crime rates and things that the negative things that people are experiencing at the hand of other folks, and that the ways that we can do that can be more informal and paying attention to some of the root causes why people make decisions or get themselves into a position where they're now a part of the criminal justice system, like social determinants, right? Mm-hmm. That lead people, like poverty or access to education or employment opportunities. When we look at some of those reasons and we try to more holistically address those, we can have really significant impacts, not just in, you know, not sending people to prison, but, you know, being able to help people be successful and thrive and, you know, have families and children that can do that too. So that's, I think, really important to lift up and to make sure that people understand and continue to hear.
Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day too, that children would commit crimes on purpose just to be with their mom and dad. That was a common thing, or they would do it just to join a gang, be with their friends and everything else. And I remember, you know, that was like a rarity. Now it's going to be more common these days. And you said 1 in 14, you know, that ratio where a family member is in prison. And what was the ratio that was like before? That was like 1 in 7, 1 in 10, or was a lot higher than that? Do you remember?
Yeah, you know, I don't have that specific statistic, but I do know that it was a lot less. And the reason why I know that is just the trend towards mass incarceration, you know, in the United States. And, you know, for every parent that is incarcerated, you know, there's potentially two or three or four kids who are also kind of locked up, right, experiencing incarceration from the outside. And what's unfortunate, and lots of our club members have experienced, is that also puts them in relationship with other systems like the foster care system, right? So when your parents removed from the home and you don't have a family member that can be there to care for you or that you can go to live with, then we see children and teens going into the foster care system, and you know, a number of different experiences that they have within that system that can be really harmful and definitely not add to their you know, health and some of the positive outcomes that we want every child to experience.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the more common myths and misunderstandings when it comes to you know, parents being incarcerated and everything like that? You have these stigmas. What are some of the common myths that you hear about and how they get debunked or misunderstandings?
Yeah, that's a really great question and point. I think one of the things that I always feel is important to lift up is that even when, you know, parents are incarcerated, they're still in parenting roles, right? And one of the things that we want to make sure to do that will benefit both sides, the parent as a child, is keep those two in contact, keep those bonds intact. So we know that even though like the prison experience and the visit experience, which I experienced myself, can, you know, be negative and have impacts, the impact of having no contact with a parent is more significant. So keeping people connected is really important. And I think people think, gosh, prisons are so scary. That experience is going to be so scary. And just, yeah, the debunk is that that contact is really important and essential for the success of both parent and the child, and really to help mitigate some of the negative impacts of having an incarcerated parent. So that's one thing. And I, you know, I don't know that fault is an important measuring stick, but I think, you know, children who are impacted by parental and family incarceration didn't ask for it. You know, it's not their fault, but they experience the system and the process as negatively, you know, or similarly in negative ways as the parent. So I think being aware of those impacts is really important. And that's one of the reasons that this book is important, is to lift up those experiences and the voices of youth who've had that experience, so that we have a better understanding of what happens when we incarcerate people, and what happens to their children and their families when they are incarcerated.
Mm-hmm. And especially affecting the ninth grade as well, too. That seems to be the tipping point as well, too, that how they can adjust and what's expected, and why is ninth grade so difficult. And we'll get to it with a book with Leticia Longoria Navarro on advanced to ninth graders. But first, you listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Looking at a professional website without breaking your budget? Sonic Web Studios is the answer. Sonic Web Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs at below the competition rate. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. That's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support at sonicwebstudios.com. Mention Mike Wagner Show, get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give official shout-out to our official sponsor, The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson-Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. It takes place in four countries, two strangers, one target, where truth is illusion and those who love beauty first go missing. It's available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson-Zia has garnered great reviews. And Eve 11 enjoys by Howard celebrities, including Joanna Cassidy, Forge Riley, and many others. So grab your copy today for goes Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com on 40 podcast platforms. Heard in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, also on Podbean, Buzzsprout, Apple Music, also on iTunes, Google Play, and Pandora, BitChute, Rumble, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe and follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and ideas. Go to Amazon.com, check out the Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out the Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/MeAndMolsonZia for great books like Missing, Once, and Wrinkles. Also T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MeAndMolsonZia. Check it out today. and support the Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and themikewagnershow.com. We're here with the executive director of the Pathfinder Network, Leticia Longoria Navarro, and the Mike Wagner Show with the book Advice to Ninth Graders, Stories, Poetry, Art, and Other Wisdom, which is a debut anthology from the Pathfinders Club and also part of the POPS program. Before getting the book, you've been executive director of the Pathfinder Network, and tell us more about it, and there's a special meaning behind the Pathfinder Network.
Yes, absolutely. So the Pathfinder Club stands for Paving a Trail of Hope, and it's an art-based support club for teens who've been impacted by incarceration, detention, and deportation. And it was inspired by POPS, the club, which stands for Pains of the Prison System, which was a club and became an organization that was founded just over 11 years ago by Amy Friedman and Dennis Danziger, who were married and started these clubs for youth. And that, you know, Amy was a writer and Dennis was a writer as well. And Amy had two daughters who had a father who were incarcerated. And she kind of saw over and over the impact of keeping the secret of having an incarcerated father. And because Dennis was a teacher, she said, you know, we should start a club where we can support other teens who have had this experience. And through creating that space, they started putting together the work of students in the club and began publishing an anthology. So this anthology is actually the ninth anthology, the first of the collaboration between the Pathfinder Club and POPS the Club. So the way that we came together is I met Amy at a conference, the Children of Incarcerated Parents National Conference, and we were really interested in starting a club here in Portland, Oregon. So we launched our club in May of 2022, and we had just incredible success, and the partnership grew. So the Pathfinder Network as an organization took over all POPS the Club programming. So now POPS and Pathfinder clubs came together. And again, you know, they're really a space that we carve out and really hold sacred for teens who've been impacted by incarceration and to kind of counter and combat the shame and stigma that comes along with the experience of parental incarceration. And we do that by, you know, holding community with folks who have shared experiences, breaking bread together, and then really using creative expression as a way to tell our stories, create meaning, and lift up those stories and experiences and art and writing, photography, and real wisdom and resilience to help educate others, to help support, inspire, create hope, and try to create meaningful change. So these anthologies are really important to us. This one, Advice to Ninth Graders, is, again, especially important because it's the first anthology with these two organizations coming together to really expand these efforts, you know, in a larger scale and create more clubs and just create more opportunities for youth all across the country.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds like a really good starting point right there, considering things out west and heading towards east and, you know, have an impact. Of course, you have Vice and Ninth Graders. And why is ninth grade so important?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So one of the prompts that we use in club is what advice would you give to your younger self? And we use that enough that we just found that, you know, a lot of people don't listen to teens, but teens do like to give advice and they do have wisdom and knowledge to share. So within that prompt, we just got a lot of response and a lot of really great art and writing and different pieces that inspired us to kind of create a whole book about this experience of coming into high school, how everyone has had an experience like that, and to give advice to folks who are younger than ourselves, and for some of the youth who were not yet in ninth grade, kind of giving advice to their future selves. And what I could say is, this book is titled Advice to Ninth Graders. Anyone can benefit from this book. You know, anyone could really, I think, benefit from the knowledge and, like I said, the wisdom. There's so much wisdom in the book. So it's really for anyone, but especially focused in on kind of the entry into high school and what that feels like for any student, and really lifting up what it is like for students who are experiencing it for the first time, but also experiencing things like parental incarceration.
That's a really interesting point right there. And of course, with the ninth grade, what are some of the few tidbits that ninth graders would give, or what would you give? Just some of the few tidbits. Of course, not give away the book, but what are some of the few tidbits that you would give advice to, either, you know, to yourself, ninth grader, and vice versa?
Yeah. You know, I think understanding is a theme that comes up in the book. Just having empathy for other people's experiences, you know, that you never know what someone else is kind of going through or what they've been through. And so you just was really trying to listen and be present and understand each other before judging. That was a specific theme within the book. There's a lot of advice in the book about family and how there are challenges sometimes, and there's joy and happiness as well, and kind of how to navigate that. There's definitely kind of a theme around identity and, you know, kind of how you find who you are and the journey that you take to, you know, become your better or greater self. And yeah, there's so much, and I'd be happy to share a few pieces just so that folks could get a preview. But there's so much. Those are just a few that stand out.
And the artwork and everything else, the expression and everything, maybe a few examples of it. And what's that one piece that really stands out to you the most?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have one kind of here that I can share. It's called Dad by Kai Salazar, and Kai's writing about the experience of her dad and, so, you know, some of the choices he made and how it impacted her. So I'll share it. Dad, big arms tattooed and bruised, a smile filled with white crooked teeth, a blue do-rag always on, someone taking pictures for my first day of school, big fingers I could wrap my hand around, a scratchy voice from years of smoking, a voice I'll never hear again, arms I will never get wrapped up in again, a smile I will never get again, a blue do-rag I will never get to see him wear. First days long gone, fingers wrapped around needles instead of my hands, a dad who was there every day turned into a memory. So this example of Kai just speaking to what it felt like for her dad to not be present, and her dad, you know, not to be in her life because of some of the choices that he's made.
Okay. And also maybe from a mom's perspective as well, too, you know, first from a dad and then also a mom as well.
Yeah, great point. Yes, definitely.
Okay. And maybe like an example from a book, you know, from a mom's point of view, and what's it like losing a mom? Of course, you had Kai that, you know, losing dad, do-rag and white crooked teeth and everything tattooed all over. And of course, you know, maybe by a mom that not necessarily tattoos or anything, or just like, you know, a regular working mom, maybe a professional or anything like that, or, you know, just, you know, a unique story about, you know, moms getting incarcerated.
Yeah. One that sticks out to me, this is by Jaden Saturn, and it's actually titled Empathy and Mom. And it's short, but it's powerful in terms of speaking to Jaden's experience. But visited my mom after about 5 months, and it was nice to see her, but I knew she was stressing and having a hard time settling in with new people and without me and my brother. So even though mom is gone, right, Jaden's really kind of tuning into what it is like for her and how she's struggling and why she might be struggling. So that's another example of that, you know, is about his mom, but also about his experience.
And of course, another thing that cropped up as well, too. And do you think the prison system is going to go through reform as well? Because you had some, you know, people incarcerated in prison for such petty crimes that just, you know, caused a lot of overcrowding and everything like that. So,
yeah, I think we're definitely hoping that, you know, we'll continue to see changes to the criminal justice system that, you know, mitigate some of the impacts that people are having, and that we find alternative ways to make sure that people are, you know, being accountable, but also getting the support and the things that they need to be successful in the community and stay in the community. So I think we're looking forward to that. And I think, you know, trying to find ways to keep kids and teens in contact with their parents and loved ones when they are incarcerated. That's a really important piece, I think, you know, from a teen's perspective, and what helps them to kind of, you know, heal from that experience and have, you talked earlier about like being able to cope with the experience, having the support that they need to navigate that, I think is really important.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, what do you want people to get from the book besides ninth graders?
Yeah, I think, you know, the book, it's not just a book, it's really a guiding light. And I think it provides just a really important perspective to deepen and increase understanding of what it's like to be impacted by the criminal justice system. But really, as important, you know, what's on the other side of that, the hope and potential of these young people and the ways that they can inspire us and, you know, really help us work our way through the challenges of criminal justice systems and other systems. I think, you know, in the book, you start to see activists, you know, kind of emerge by telling their stories. There's a lot of wisdom in here about what we could do instead, which I think is really important and really empowering, you know, for them to say from this experience. It would be really helpful if, you know, I had more teachers who understood, or if I had adults in my life that took time to listen instead of judging me. So you know, that what we should do instead, I think, is really important and critical.
I think you brought up a great point about what can we do instead, like with activists and everything. What are some maybe one or two suggestions you got from the book, or maybe what they were saying? What are some of the things they can do, activists and everything else? What are some of the other alternatives? I think you brought up a really good point.
Yeah, I think one that sticks out as a theme in this book and in some of the other anthologies is just, you know, using your voice and your story to do good, to create change. So even though it may be really difficult to talk about the experience with your dad or your mom or your loved one, we do that so that other people maybe don't have to have the same negative experience, and we can create change that feels meaningful, not just for individuals and families, but for our communities. Mm-hmm. And part of the Pathfinder Club is connecting these youth who are, you know, now published artists and writers, to other organizations and opportunities in our communities to follow, you know, some of those aspirations and dreams. So this summer we partnered with an organization, Outside the Frame, and some of the members of our club were able to use film to tell their stories. So they published two short films about, you know, what their experiences have been and what some of the challenges have been, and kind of what they need to feel supported and heard and seen. So I think that's one way, is elevating their voices in a book like this one, Advice to Ninth Graders Through
you,
Film.
You want to show it to our viewers as well too? So
yes,
let's see, a little closer. Can we go a little closer up here? Can we do that? Okay. And where can we find the book at, and where can we get more information about the POPS program and the Pathfinders?
Yes, so our website is popsclubs.org, and the book you can find on outofthewoodspress.com. It's available on all the major platforms, and we're really hoping that, yeah, that we can get this in the hands of many people that will definitely benefit from the wisdom of the youth of both the Pathfinder Club and Pops the Club.
Mm-hmm. And certainly as well, too. What's coming up for Leticia Ligoria Navarro of Advice to Ninth Graders? We'll find out in just 1 minute. You listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios, and brought to you by official sponsor of The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson-Zia. We'll be back with the author of Advice to Ninth Graders, Leticia Ligoria Navarro, after this timeout. We're back with author Leticia Ligoria Navarro of Advice to Ninth Graders here on the Mike Wagner Show. And what else can we expect from you in 2024 and beyond, Leticia?
Yes. So, I mean, one of the things that we're really focused on in 2024 is continuing to expand clubs across the country. So we now have clubs in four different states. So we're in conversations with folks all over the country about starting a club in their school or in their community center, in their church, in their juvenile justice facility, kind of anywhere our youth are at that are impacted by incarceration and other systems. So that's something we're really excited about, just being able to impact more youth and be a part of supporting them. We're already starting to work on the 10th anthology. So we're collecting work and starting the process of, being able to publish our 10th book, and doing really cool community projects with other organizations that can help support our youth, but again, amplify their voice and help them lean into their dreams and their potential and the things that are important to them. So I think that's exciting to see club members, graduate and go on to college or, go into a trade. That's something that they've been thinking about for a long time. So being able to see those youth come back, tell their stories is something that's very exciting that we'll continue to do. And I think, just trying to expand our reach and the support for our work. So we love to get folks reach out to us with questions or ideas or, wanting to volunteer. Part of our clubs are really using community volunteers to help facilitate the clubs every week. So we love just to get to support and connection with community members who want to get involved and want to support and help.
And what's the website again to get involved with the Pathfinder and POPS program?
Yeah, popsclubs.org is where you can find information about our clubs and also about Advice to Ninth Graders and the other 8 anthologies that we've published.
All right, we'll certainly check those out. Once again, with the author of Advice to Ninth Graders, Leticia Longoria Navarro, and Executive Director of the Pathfinder Network here on the Mike Wedner Show. And we are talking about what else is expected and who to consider biggest influence in your career.
That's a good question. Oh, my goodness. Because I'm focused so much right now on the clubs, I had a teacher who I was a junior in high school and spent quite a bit of time with him. He was definitely an important support for me. And I remember being in his office one day and him saying to me, you're a pretty smart kid. Like, you could go to college. You have a lot of potential. And no one had ever said that to me before. And so that was kind of a moment that I thought, well, maybe, I respect him. He's an important person in my life. And if he thinks that I could do that, then maybe I can. And so he supported me through that process and connected me with other adults who could support me in figuring out what that would look like. I was the first person in my family to go to college, so I wasn't really sure about what that looked like. And he stayed in contact with me, through all the years and has, just continued to support and just give me positive affirmations and recognition. And I think it just speaks to the power of adults. Our families are really important, and the adults that we come into contact with at school and other places are really important. So it just, I think, for me, reinforces the importance of showing up for young people, listening, seeing their strengths and potentials and telling them those things.
Mm-hmm. And that's very important indeed. You're right. That is. And what's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
I think, we have a lot to say and, always learning and changing and evolving as people. And I think one of the most powerful things that we can do is listen and be present. And that's how we, we're able to create all of the pieces that are in this book by listening and by creating a space for people to tell their story, for young people to tell their story. There's so many powers. There's so much power in stories. And to me, that's something that Advice to Ninth Graders represents, just the power of so many lives who have been touched by incarceration, but have really wonderful, important stories to tell.
And certainly indeed as well, too. Very inspiring, Leticia. We're here with author Leticia Longoria Navarro of Advice to Ninth Graders, also director of the Pathfinder Network here on Mike Wedner Show. Leticia, very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Love to have you back. And once again, what's your website? How do people contact you? Where can people purchase, check out the book, and get more information on the POPS program and Pathfinder?
That's right. So yeah, there's a team of folks who were a part of putting this book together. So I just want to shout them out, myself and then Victor Trillo, who's our program coordinator, and Amy Friedman, who's our executive editor. You can find more information about Pops the Clubs and the Pathfinder Club at popsclubs.org. And you can find information about our books as well, and our publishing site at outofthewoodspress.com. And we love to hear from people. And we really hope that folks will check out the book, Advice to Ninth Graders, and really just enjoy all of the incredible wisdom that's inside.
And great advice to ninth graders, especially, including us, too. So once again, Leticia, very big thank you for your time. You've been totally amazing. Learned a lot. Looking forward to having again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Love having you back. We wish all best. And Leticia, you definitely have a great future ahead of you.
Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate you.